We begin Seder Moed. The subject of Seder Moed are the various special days during the year, such as the Yom Tovim and Shabbos, and also fast days, and the various laws which apply on those days. There are 12 Masechtas in this Seder, and the first two focus on Shabbos. Now, one of the times which the Torah mentions the commandment of Shabbos, it places that commandment right next to the commandment to build a Mishkan. And we learn from there that all of the things which were done in the construction of the Mishkan, and to assemble all of the parts in the Mishkan, those are the things which are forbidden on Shabbos. And as we'll learn in the 7th parak of this Masechta, there are 39 categories of forbidden work on Shabbos. Those are known as Aves Melachos, the father categories of work, but of course within each category there are many different activities which come under that category and are also forbidden mid-oraisa. So the subcategories of work, those things which were not done in the Mishkan themselves, however they are similar to one of those 39 things which were done in the Mishkan, those are known as toldos, which literally means the children or the descendants, the smaller subdivisions of work, whereas the 39 categories are called the avos, the fathers of the malacha. We're going to see later on in the Masechta what exactly the difference between an Av Melacha and a Toldo is, but it's important to realize that both of them are forbidden in exactly the same way. They are both forbidden mid-oraisa from the Torah, and the punishment for violating one of those Melachas, one of those forms of work, so if you break Shabbos on purpose, intentionally, the punishment for doing so is that one is killed by Beis Din. And in fact, he gets the most severe death penalty from the Beis Din, namely Skila, which is when he is thrown off a cliff and stoned. Now, one only receives skila if he breaks Shabbos intentionally, and two witnesses saw him do it, and they warned him before doing it that it's forbidden to do it, and the punishment is skila. But if any of those conditions were not met, then he will not receive skila. However, if he still knew that he was breaking Shabbos, and he did it on purpose, then he receives the punishment of kores, which is delivered by Hashem in different ways. For example, his children might die early, or he might die early. He's sort of cut off from Hashem. So that is the punishment for breaking Shabbos b'mezid, intentionally. On the other hand, if somebody breaks Shabbos b'shoigeg, unintentionally, by mistake, then they must bring a korban chatos, a sin offering, to atone for their sin. Now, there's a big misconception as to what exactly b'shoigeg means. If somebody does an action which he didn't mean to do, for example, if you drop some seeds on the ground and you end up planting them, but you didn't mean to do that, that is not considered to be a b'shoigeg case, because you didn't even mean to do that action. B'shoigeg refers to a specific case where you knew, let's say you were planting, to take that example of a forbidden form of work, let's say you knew you were planting, but you didn't realize you're not allowed to plant on Shabbos. Or let's say you didn't realize it was Shabbos today. So you knew what you were doing and you meant to do it, you just didn't know it was forbidden. So that is considered shoigeg, and if one does that, then he will need to bring a korban chatos. Now, the first few prokim of Maseches Shabbos discuss the laws which apply already before Shabbos comes in, and then it goes on to discuss the laws which apply as Shabbos is coming in, lighting candles just before Shabbos comes in, and then for the rest of the Masechta, really the vast majority of the Masechta, we discuss the laws which apply on Shabbos itself. Now, the very first Mishnah does not actually discuss laws which apply before Shabbos. However, it is the first Mishnah because it introduces to us rules to do with a particular form of work as a sort of introduction to the second Mishnah, which does discuss that form of work and how it applies before Shabbos comes in. Now, the form of work which we're referring to is the Malacha of Hetzah, which literally means carrying out, and it refers to the prohibition of carrying something from one domain to another. Now, there are two main domains when it comes to Shabbos, and that is Rosh HaYochid, a private domain, and Rosh HaRabim, a public domain. Now, it's important to realize that what makes a domain a private domain is not the fact that it's owned by an individual private person. Rather, the definition of a Rosh HaYochid is an area of at least 4x4 tefachim, which is surrounded on all four sides by a wall which is at least 10 tefachim high. Even if it's owned by multiple people, it could still be considered a Rishus HaYochid, at least on a mid-oraisa level. On the other hand, when it comes to a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, this needs to be an area which is at least 16 amos wide, and it's got to be somewhere where lots of people are there often. So it does actually have to be public in that sense, and it's got to be somewhere which is not surrounded by walls and it doesn't have a roof. So that would be considered a Rishus HaRabim. Now, an important difference between a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim is that an area is only considered a Rishus HaRabim up until 10 tefachim high above the ground. But the airspace above 10 tefachim from the ground is not considered to be part of the Rishus HaRabim. However, when it comes to Rishus HaYochid, the entire area above that Rishus HaYochid is also considered part of that domain. Even the airspace which is higher up than in line with the top of the walls. Now, the area above Ten Tefachim in a public domain is actually a third domain in itself, another type of domain, and that is called a Mokum Ptur, which literally means an exempt area. And other exempt areas would also include somewhere which is smaller than 4x4 Tefachim. Let's say you've got an area which is smaller than that and surrounded by a wall, so it can't be a Rishus HaYochid because it's smaller than 4x4 Tefachim. So that would also be considered a Mokum Ptur, an exempt area. Now, the form of work called Hotza'ah refers to the prohibition of carrying something from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, or from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. On the other hand, as the name suggests, one is allowed to carry from a Rishus HaRabim into a Mokum Ptur, into an exempt area, or vice versa. And you could also take from a Rishus HaYochid into a Mokum Ptur, and vice versa, and that will be allowed. Now, Midoraisa, any area which doesn't reach the conditions of a Rishus HaYochid or a Rishus HaRabim is considered a Mokum Ptur, and you'd be able to carry from there and into there. However, Midrabbanon, many of these areas have similar characteristics and features as a Rishus HaYochid and a Rishus HaRabim. For example, a very large open area where not so many people go. So in a way, that's very like a public domain because it's a very large area. But on the other hand, it's like a Rishus HaYochid. It's like a private domain in that not many people go there. Another example is an area of at least 4x4 tefachim, which is surrounded by a wall, but the wall is, let's say, only 5 tefachim high. So the wall is too short to make that domain considered a Rishus HaYochid, but it's still very similar to a Rishus HaYochid. And therefore, Midrabbanan, there is a fourth type of domain, and that is known as a Karmelis. So many of the restrictions which apply to Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim, Midrabbanan apply to a Karmelis as well. And therefore, for example, Midrabbanan, one is not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis, or vice versa, or from a Rishus HaRabim into a Karmelis, or vice versa. Now, just before we begin the Mishnah, it's important to note that there is another part that we haven't yet discussed of this form of work called Hotza'ah. The first part is carrying from one domain into another, but another part of this malacha of Hotza'ah is that it is prohibited to carry something in a public domain for the length of 4 amos. If you carry something for 4 amos along a public domain, you would also have violated this malacha of Hotza'ah. Now, the point of the first Mishnah is to tell us that when it comes to the prohibition of carrying from one domain into another, for example, from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, one is only chayev, one is only liable to the punishments which we mentioned earlier, if he does the entire malacha himself. Malacha refers to the form of work, and there are 3 parts to this form of work. The first is an akira, which is lifting the item up from the domain in which it is standing. The second part is shinui rishus, which means changing its domain, moving it along into the other domain. And the third part is the hanacha, putting that item down in the second domain. Now, although Midrabbanan, it's forbidden to do even any of those things, if you did do just one of them, you wouldn't be chayav any of the punishments, because Midoraisa, you didn't do anything wrong. And this is learnt from the Pasuk, which says that Ba'aseisa, when you do it, referring to the malacha, then you'll be chayav. Which implies that only if you do it, meaning the entire malacha, will you be chayav. But if you only did half of it, then you are exempt from the punishment. Begins the Masechta, Yitzirus HaShabbos, the Melacha of carrying out on Shabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba, are 2 which are really 4. And what that means is, there are 2 scenarios in which one would break Shabbos Midoraisa, and as we explained, that means that he lifted it up, moved the domain, and put it down in the second domain. But there are also 2 other scenarios where he would have violated Shabbos only Midrabbanan, and that's when he only does half of the Melacha. And this applies Bifnim, for the person who is standing in a Rishus HaYochid, and exactly the same thing applies for somebody who is standing in a Rishus HaRabim, which times in Arba Bachutz, so there are 2 which are really 4, also for the guy standing outside. Ketzad, how so, what are we talking about? So the Mishnah sets up the case, it uses an example of He'oni, a poor person, Omid Bachutz, he's standing outside in a Rishus HaRabim, Uval Abayis, and the owner of the house, Bifnim, he is standing inside in the Rishus HaYochid. Of course, this would apply to anybody who's standing in any of the domains. This is just a simple example of somebody who is standing outside and somebody who is standing inside. So the first case is Poshet Onias Yodei Lifnim, the poor person, remember that's the person who's standing in the Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, he stretches his hand out inwards. So what that really means is he picks something up from the Rishus HaRabim, brings it into the Rishus HaYochid, V'nosan Asirichad Shal Balabayis, and he puts it down into the hand of the Balabayis, the person who owns the house. So he's done all 3 things. He did an Akira, he lifted it up, he did a Shinui Rishus, and the Hanochai put it down. Oishenotal Mitoicha, or if you take something from the Balabais' hand, so he lifts it up in the other domain, then moves it into his domain, the Haitzi brings it out, and then he puts it down in his domain. In that case, again, he did all three things, and it makes no difference which way around he does it, and therefore in both those cases, He'oni Chayev, the poor person, is obligated. And of course, in this case of Balabais Potter, the Balabais is exempt because he didn't do any of those three things. And now we're going to have exactly the same thing, but for the man standing inside. Posher Balabais is Ola Lachutz. The Balabais, who was standing in the Rishus HaYochid, stretched out his hand outside, so he lifted something up, changed domain, and he put it into the hand of the poor person, or if he lifted something up from the Oni's hand, from the poor person's hand, brought it into his domain, the Hichnis, he brought it in and then put it down, Balabais Chayev. In that case, the Balabais is obligated with the Oni Potter, whereas the poor person will be exempt. So far we've listed the two cases for each person, which are forbidden mid-Oraisa, and therefore he will be liable to the punishments. And now we're going to list the two cases for each person, which since they only do half of the Malacha each, they will be exempt from the punishments. However, as we explained, it is still forbidden mid-Rabbanon. So what are those cases? If the poor person stretched out his hand inside with something in it, but instead of putting it down, the Balabais took it from his hand, and the Balabais put it down. So in that case, the poor person did the first half, but the Balabais did the second half. Or if the Balabais put something into the poor person's hand, the Hoitzi and the poor person took out his hand and put it down. Since the poor person didn't do the first part, and the Balabais didn't do the second part, Shnei Pturin, they are both exempt. Alright, and final two cases, Posher Balabais is Yodel Lachutz. If the Balabais stretched out his hand outside, so he lifted something up, did the Shinur Yishus, but the third thing, the Hanochal, the putting it down, he did not do. Rather, the poor person took it from his hand. That's case number one. And case number two is where the Balabais stretches out his hand with nothing in it. And the poor person put something into his hand. So that means that the poor person did the Akira. He lifted the item up. So even if then the Hichnis, the Balabais brings it into his domain and puts it down, Shnei Pturin, they are both exempt, because in the last four cases, neither of them did all three parts. Neither of them did the Akira, Shinur Yishus, and Hanacha, and therefore, although it's forbidden Midrabbanon, they are not Chayev.